this morning we're going to be having communion. You know, we just had communion with our Easter and Good Friday. I was just sensing in my spirit that it's something that we need to do, and to encourage you, not just today to partake of communion. I'd like to encourage you to take communion at home this month. And whatever you're facing, whatever trials you may be facing, or problems, difficulties that you may be facing, why not try communion each day and just take a moment and spend that with the Lord, and just honor the Lord through remembering his body, remembering his blood, and claiming those promises. And I believe we're going to see some breakthroughs as we do that. And so that's kind of why I'm doing this message, kind of why we're doing communion today, is just to encourage you to do that at home as well, and just to take that time. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, and I want to talk about communion as a time of remembrance. It says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And that's our normal passage that we read during our communion time. But there's a lot of meaning in those few little verses that we read. And this morning, I just want to focus on the part about remembering. Remembering. Communion's really big about remembering. It's really encouraging each one of us that we would take the time to remember. Now, to remember means to recall to mind. It means to remain aware, to think of again. And you will find throughout Scripture there are many things that God wants us to remember. There are many things that God wants us to call to mind, or to be aware of, or to think of again. And it's all through Scripture where we see the Lord telling us, you need to remember. You need to remember, especially things of God. Now, obviously, God knows that we have a tendency to forget things. Obviously, he knows that. And even important God things, we have tendencies to forget about it. And so it's interesting, as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper communion, that he's telling us, you need to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever, 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 ever forget what I've done for you. And that's something as Christians, we really do need to be reminded of that, because sometimes, you know, life just gets busy. Life just goes on. And sometimes we just forget about how important it is to remember our Lord and our Savior. Sometimes we just forget that how important it is just to worship him. And I trust that you worship him more than just on a Sunday morning, that you worship him through the week, that you sing songs during the week, that you put on some music and you join in that music and worship the Lord. When we come to communion, we usually don't have a problem of remembering the fact that there's a bread and that there's a cup. We usually got that part down pretty good. But there's a whole lot more that's in there that we need to remember. And it's interesting, as I've been reading through the Old Testament again, I've been reminded and kind of surprised how often God is telling the people of Israel, you need to remember this. You need to remember this. And all through the Old Testament, you see God telling the people, listen, you need to remember these things. And to kind of help them remember these things, God instituted feasts, he instituted laws and offerings and practices that they were to observe to help them to remember what the Lord had done. And he stresses that all through Scripture. And unfortunately for Israel, they're very prone to forget. And they slipped into sin over and over and over again. And you can, as you read that, you guys say, well, that's why God's trying to tell them. You need to remember. You need to remember. Tell the stories of faith. Tell your children those stories of faith so that the next generation doesn't walk away not knowing who God is. And as Jesus came to the Last Supper, communion has many names that people refer to it. He tells us this is something important. This is something you need to remember. This is something you need to continue to do. And so this morning, I just thought I'd just remind you of some of the things that should come to our minds when we partake of that cup and when we partake of that bread. Now, one of the first things as we partake of communion, we are to remember the betrayal of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. Now, this is a part that we often don't think about in our communion service, because we go right to the bread part. But it tells us here, on the night that he was betrayed. Betrayal means to deliver or expose someone to an enemy by treachery or by disloyalty. And here, as Jesus was instituting this new covenant practice for us as Christians, as he was doing this, we need to remember that Jesus already knew and was already telling them that betrayal was coming. He was already telling them that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. And so if you can imagine being there that day with Jesus celebrating this Last Supper with his disciples, instituting this very important practice for Christians, but at the same time to be thinking about, here's my friend Judas, my disciple. He's going to betray me in a few moments. My punishment, the sins of this world are soon going to come upon me. And here's my betrayer sitting beside me. Think about Jesus as looking, and there he sees Peter, kind of the spokesman of the disciples. And looking at Peter, who often, you know, was so quick to make a statement. And Jesus was telling him, you're going to deny me. That's what was on Jesus' mind, even as he's doing this. One of my most outspoken disciples, he's going to deny me. And then as he looked around at the other disciples, Jesus already knew what was going to happen to them as well. They're all going to desert him. They're all going to run. And so as he's instituting this communion service, think about that for a moment, what Jesus was going through as he's instituting this. He already knew that a betrayal was coming. He already knew denial was coming. He already knew that they were going to desert him. And he'd be going to the cross all alone, all by himself. You know, sometimes in life, we get betrayed. Sometimes in life, there are offenses that happen in our lives. Sometimes in life, people walk away from us. They're not there to support us, and we walk through some hard and difficult times all by ourselves. As you think about that, think about communion. Think about bringing those things, as Jesus did, right into that communion service. And just to bring them before God and say, God, obviously you know all about it. You know what it is to feel all alone. You know what it is to be betrayed. You know what it is to feel like that people, they leave you, they scatter, and they desert you. You know all about it. Bring all those feelings, those worries, those fears, and bring them as we come to that table of the Lord, that we can offer it up to him and say, God, I'm bringing all these things to you today. I don't want to carry them anymore. I bring them to you. And then it says that we need to remember to give thanks. Verses 23, Again, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. It's always important to give thanks. Doesn't matter how you feel, whether you feel like it or not, whether you're sick today, whether you had a bad day, whether you're tired, you're exhausted, he is worthy of it all. We just sang that. He is worthy of it all. And we need to remind ourselves that no matter what is happening to our own little world, that he is still worthy of all of our praise at all times. He's still worthy. He's still worthy. To give thanks is to express gratitude, appreciation, when we remember the Lord's sacrifice and the shedding of his blood. And as we remember that, there needs to be great appreciation. Thank you, Lord. My goodness, Lord, who am I that you would love me? Who am I that you would give your life for me that I might have life? We all mess up at times. We all do things that we shouldn't do, and sometimes, you know, we can feel that weight of guilt and condemnation so strong. But the Lord's saying, I want you to come to my table. Come to my table and begin to give thanks. You know, it's really interesting that Thanksgiving is one of the most important things that we can do to usher us into the presence of God. The Bible talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Sometimes we don't value enough the importance of praise. When our worship team is up here and they're leading in us, that's a very, very important part of our praise and our worship. Very important. Because the Bible says that's how we're to come. We're to come into his presence. We just don't walk in there and say, okay, come on, Lord, just feed me, minister to my needs. No, we come in with thanksgiving. We come in with praise. We put aside our problems, our difficulties, our heartaches, and we put them, we lay them down and say, God, I'm going to begin to worship you. And I always find it's a powerful thing that takes place that when you start doing that, even when you don't feel like doing it, the atmosphere changes. Your atmosphere changes. And you find something inside of you and say, no, man, I'm starting to feel good. I'm starting to feel good. Why? Because you're doing what your God calls you to do. Come before him with thanksgiving. And so every time we come around this communion table and we participate in these emblems, we always should come with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Jesus had lots of things on his mind that day as he was instituting this. He knew what was going to take place. And yet he stopped and he gave thanks unto God. And friends, we need to do that too. We need to just sometimes just stop. Stop what you're doing and just begin to give thanks unto God. It's one of the biggest keys to connection with God. Remember to give thanks. Now, thirdly, in communion, we're to remember the body of Christ with the bread. We got that part. Verses 23, 24, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is an area, as Jesus says, you need to do this and remember me. He's telling us there's some extra attention that needs to be given here as we remember his body. He's telling us now, don't forget this one. This here is really, 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 really important. Don't forget this part. Don't forget what Jesus had to bear as he gave his body as a sacrifice for our sins. And when you think about that day, if the betrayal wasn't bad enough, then you get a denial from your best buddy, then you get abandoned by all your close friends, and then the world takes you, and they begin to beat you, and they begin to torture you, and they just give a pounding on you. They pound you so much that people can't even recognize who you are. And that's what it tells us about Jesus, that he was beyond recognition. He was beaten so badly That if you looked at him, you would never know that that was him. And that's what he took for us. And if that wasn't enough, then to be put on a cross. Instead of being tied to the cross like many others, they nailed him to the cross. And then they hung that cross, and he died a criminal's death. Think about that as you think about his body this morning. Think about that as you think about your relationship with God and what it took. The Bible says that he was the perfect and the ultimate sacrifice. He really was the only one that could appease a holy God because he is the only one who was sinless. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He became our lamb of sacrifice that he might finish all sacrifices. We used to sing the song, "He paid a debt I did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay." And that's what he did for us. He took our punishment upon himself. He gave his body as the offering, the sacrifice for our sin, that we could be restored to fellowship with God. And so now, today, we don't have to have sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. Because Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, the very Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God. So as we partake of that bread, we're remembering his body, that our salvation came at a very hard, high price. And that sin is something that is very serious because it took the very Son of God that our sins could be atoned for. So take time to remember what Jesus did. Let that piece of bread remind you of the seriousness of sin, the high cost of salvation, and never, ever, 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 ever forget what the Lord has done for you. He gave up his body. He suffered on our part to grant us salvation. He paid our debt that the way might be opened up to God once again. So in communion, we need to remember the body of Christ and all that he bore with us. Which brings me into my next point, which really could be under the same point, but I just kind of separated it a little bit, to remember the suffering of Christ. Because that's an important part of communion as well, that we just don't remember that, yes, he was a sacrifice, but to remember all that he bore for us. The suffering that took place in his body on that day. Because not only is there the benefit of salvation through the sacrifice of Christ's blood, there are other benefits that took place when Jesus suffered. Not only did he restore peace in our relationship with God by carrying our sins, but he also carried everything else that the curse of sin had brought. His suffering brought redemption for us in many areas that we often don't think about in our times of communion. But there's a passage of scripture written hundreds of years before. Isaiah 53, 3-6. I'd like to read just that short portion. If you have some time this afternoon, you can read the whole portion. It's just amazing how it describes in great detail what Christ bore for us. It says he was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It wasn't just our sins he carried that day. It wasn't just our sins. It should remind us as we partake of communion that there are other things. He didn't just take our sin, he also took the curses of sin. He took every dark thing that the enemy had, and he took it to the cross. He took our weaknesses. He took our failures. He took our sorrows. He took our troubles. He took our rebellion. He took our punishment. He took our sickness that we might be whole. God wants to touch every area of our lives. He doesn't just want to deal with the sin that's in our lives. He wants to make us completely whole. He wants to help us in every area of our life, from our weaknesses to our hurts to our pains and all those things that emotionally we go through. When he was on the cross, he took those things too as he welcomes us. So whatever grieves us today, whatever troubles us today, whatever sickness we may bear today, Jesus carried that on the cross so they wouldn't have to bear it. And so he invites us, cast your cares on me. He still does that. He took them at the cross, but he still invites, he says, cast your cares on me. Cast the sickness. Cast your hurt. Cast your grief. Cast your pain that you're experiencing today. That he can bring healing to your body, healing to your soul, healing to your mind. Because he reminds us, by those stripes, you're healed. I did it for you. Everything that the enemy has done, everything that the enemy has brought in, Jesus, I took it all. I took it all. I took it all to the cross to declare that it's finished. So remember that as you take time with the bread, to remember the suffering of Christ. But as you do that, bring all your troubles. Bring all your pain. Bring all of your failures. Bring all your sickness. Bring all those questions. Because Jesus Christ truly is. He is the answer to all things. He really is. And he wants to make us whole, complete. Take time to remember. Then number five, communion should cause us to remember the new covenant. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people. 1 Corinthians 11:25. We need to remember as we take that cup, it's more than remembering about the blood. It's also remember there's a new covenant. There's a new covenant. The old covenant, you had to go through literal sacrifices of animals. That started way back in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing that happened after that? God shed, killed some animals, blood was shed, and he clothed them with those skins. That was the first sacrifice, first blood sacrifice. The old covenant, that's how you had to do it. An animal had to take your place, and blood had to be shed that your sins could be forgiven. But it was only temporary, and you had to keep doing it every year because it wasn't sufficient. But it was looking forward to the day when Jesus would come that would be that perfect sacrificial lamb, and he would bring in a new covenant and a new way to have connection with God. Now, for that new covenant to be made, same principles apply. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be blood that was spilt. And Jesus did that. He was the sacrifice, and his blood was spilt for you and I, fulfilling the laws of covenant making. Because of that, today we no longer have to offer the sacrifices of goats or lambs or bulls, because Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. The devil has been defeated. We no longer have to go through a high priest to connect to God, because the veil's been separated, torn in two that day. What was separating the Holy of Holies was a curtain. On that day, it got rent in two, giving us direct access to God. See, friends, there's no better sacrifice. There's no better blood. There's no better covenant than that of the very Son of God. So Jesus fulfilled the demands of the old covenant, therefore bringing in a new covenant, a superior covenant, where there is forgiveness of sins for all who will repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we take that cup and we lift up that cup, remember, it's a new covenant. I was thinking of the wedding this week of Gregory and Francine. And at the end of that wedding, you have toast. It's kind of in the same sense. You're lifting up that cup, giving a toast to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We bless you, God. We worship you, God. You brought us into a whole new covenant. There's a new marriage that took place that now we can have direct access to God. It's a beautiful thing. So thank God for a new covenant. Communion should remind us about that. Number six, in communion, we should remember the blood and the power of the blood of Jesus. 11:25, it says, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people and an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Again, it's an area that says, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, he's saying, okay, don't forget this. Don't ever, 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 ever forget this part. Don't forget it. It's very, very important. Should not be forgotten. Because part of covenant making is the shedding of blood. And for Jesus to bring a better covenant, not only did he have to sacrifice his body, but blood had to be spilled. And Jesus did that. And he shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sins. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So blood had to be spilt. And there's no better blood than the blood of the very Son of God. So communion is a reminder of a blood covenant that was made through Jesus Christ. It's a binding promise, and it's sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's kind of interesting that even in documentation today, any important documentation, they still use a seal. And although it's wax today, you'll notice that it's in the color of red. Reminds you, even some of the things we do today, people have no idea, but it's going back to reminder, that's the perfect seal, the blood. That's what seals the covenant. That's what makes it legal and complete when they do that. So the blood of Jesus has paid for everything, and it covers all our sins, that we can come into the presence of God with a free conscience, knowing that the devil's hold in our lives has been broken. Our sins have been paid for. You have been redeemed. You have been bought back by the blood of Jesus. See, friends, we need to realize that we're not our own. So many people say, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You were a slave to sin. The devil had ownership over you until you came to that place and gave your life to Jesus Christ, which broke that ownership. And now he owns you. He's your Lord. That's why the Bible talks about you make him Lord, because he really is. Because he paid for you. You've been paid for. You're not your own. You've been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And no further blood needs to be shed, as it was already the perfect blood from the Son of God. That's what Jesus did for us. He redeemed us from the devil through the blood of Jesus. You're free. See, the devil has lost his authority over you. And we need to remind them as we come to communion, say, hold the devil, you do not have authority over me. I command you to go because I've been set free. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. See, he might deceive you into thinking that, no, I have you. You cannot break my hold. It's already been broken. He's a deceiver, and that's what he does. He just deceives us that he does have a hold. When he doesn't, he has no authority. God has the authority, and it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. So thank God for the blood of Jesus. Very powerful. And then lastly, in communion, we need to remember that Jesus is coming again. There's a hope that we have. There's a day when we shall all meet and gather together on the other side. That's really true. And Jesus tells us that I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Because he says that in verse 26. He says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. What a beautiful promise to remember. For those disciples that day that all scattered and went away, man, that must have really meant a lot afterwards when they realized. He was telling us everything. We just didn't get it. And they saw him come, raised from the dead, and he ascended into the heavens. But he made a promise, even as he did that on that day. Just as you've seen him go, you will see him come. But he was telling them in the communion service that, listen, you need to remember that. It's going to happen. Oh, there's lots of people. Oh, that's never going to happen. Look how many years have passed. What does God say? God desires that no one perish. So he's patient with us. He's giving time for our world to respond. And I think we're at that place. I really do. I think we're at that place for the coming of the Lord. Revival is happening all around our world. The only place it's not happening is basically Europe, North America, seem to be the places where it's not happening, but it's starting. And I really do believe. I believe there's going to be a move of the Spirit of God that's going to touch this nation. I believe there's going to be many, many people that will come to Christ. We're going to see many people come to Christ in this community. And it's going to usher in the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. We used to sing that little chorus, soon and very soon, we shall see the King. We shall see the King soon and very soon. I believe that. And as we have communion, the Lord is saying, hey, you need to remember this. This is important too. I'm coming again. I'm coming again. So in closing this morning, I hope I've stirred your memory and reminded you just how many reminders there actually are in communion. It is a service that is designed of remembrance. God says, I want you to remember. Don't forget these things. Because sometimes we do. It's just who we are. Life is like that at times. We just kind of forget. And we need these reminders to say, hey, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going all the way with God. These can serve as great reminders to us. I encourage you to take time to remember this morning. Take time to focus on the things that God has done for you. To remind yourself of what Jesus went through, that you might have a relationship with him. Don't forget it. Don't allow your busyness, your activities, and your wants of life to rob you of your relationship with him. Take time to remember. Take time to remember. Take time to examine yourself. Take time to see if you're still in the faith. Because your salvation came at a very, very high price. We need to remember that. Jesus went through a lot for us. The Bible reminds us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Why can we have faith in him to give us eternal life? Because he was our sacrifice. He fulfilled the laws of covenant making. He became our sacrifice for sin. He shed his blood for us. Therefore, making a new covenant, a new way to God, where he can declare that I am the way, the life, and the truth. Your faith is in the right place. It really is. Let's keep it there. Let's keep it there. And I want you to think about maybe some of the feelings that you're going through this week, or maybe what you're going through right now. Your heart is heavy. Maybe your heart is broken. Maybe you just feel like weeping. You're going through an emotional time. Would you please remember that Jesus took all those things on the cross too? All your weaknesses, all your sicknesses, all your diseases. He took it all. Every curse of sin, he took that with him as well. He took it all. And as we celebrate this communion today, I encourage you to think about that and say, okay, Lord, here it is. Here it is. I give it to you. Lord, I've been hurt. I've been offended. I give it to you.